Welcome, welcome, welcome back to They Made Their Way to the Ring. Today's episode is kind of a revisit to episode 3, a trip right back to the start. I said in some previous episodes, I never expected for this podcast to go so far. I certainly didn't expect to be here all these months on releasing episode 27. It was just something for fun, something different, somewhere I could share my thoughts and passion and celebrate the women who I believe changed the landscape of pro wrestling in their own way. I began with my first episode talking about the OG ring announcer Lillian Garcia. Episode 2, I highlighted the 7-time women's champion and many people's childhood fantasy, Trish Stratus. At that point, the streams were slow. I planned on doing one more episode and thought I'd maybe leave it there. I couldn't decide who to choose between Lita or Mickie James. So, rightly or wrongly, I paired the two in one episode. For a while, I've wanted to sort of right that wrong. I shouldn't have contemplated giving up. So, I felt it only right to revisit Mickie James' career and give her a part two, so it were. So, with the picture painted and the ink still wet, do I need to do an introduction? Of course I do. This episode will celebrate a wrestling career that has spanned over 20 years. She is a wife, a very proud mother, a businesswoman, a podcast host, a wrestling veteran, and an 11-time Women's World Champion. Making her way to the ring for the second time in this podcast, the 11-time Women's World Champion from Richmond, Virginia, Mickie James. Okay, so it's time for a rhetorical question. Where do I start here? Mickie James is a catalogue. She's a series of matches and moments. She's a diva, a superstar, a knockout, a legend, a future Hall of Famer. Mickie is an era. On the previous episode, I briefly covered Mickie's breakout feud with Trish, her troubles with Lay Cool, her hardcore rumble return, and the last rodeo, which, thankfully, wasn't her last. Mickie, to me, is an absolute workhorse. Much like Natalya, she elevates any division she's part of and really takes a competition to new heights. Let's be honest, if Mickie James was cut open, she would bleed women's wrestling. You know, I've talked at length about this. My goal all along for this podcast was to celebrate those women who have changed the landscape. I've talked women from famous wrestling families like Natalya and Saraya. I've talked women who have nothing but passion for the business like Dana Brooke and Tori Wilson. I've talked women who have left behind a legacy like Trish and Beth, Victoria and Melina. The list goes on. But Mickie is a game changer. But this is something I'm not ashamed to say. I didn't see it at first, all those years back, but I see it now. To take it back in Mickie's first WWE run, honestly, heart on my sleeve, I didn't appreciate how good she was. I was younger, I liked who I liked. For me, then, it wasn't about the technical wrestling or the ability of the two opponents. It was who looked best, who had the coolest finisher, the best entrance and music, just all the things. I often found myself liking Mickie's opponents more too. You know, a feud with Trish, I always liked Trish best, my OG diva. I liked Tori better, Victoria, Melina, Beth, Candice Michelle, Layla, Rosa Mendez, Maryse, the list went on and on. It wasn't until Mickie went to TNA for the first time that I sat up and thought, wow, okay, I see you. Look, in WWE, it's no different today. The top tier talent always get more TV time. I mean, why wouldn't they? They're money. It makes sense. Mickie had more matches and TV time than most of the divas in that era. But over in TNA, I was new to the product. Yes, I'd seen Gail Kim before. I knew Tara, but Mickie was the next familiar face. So I found myself gravitating to support her in her matches against some of the lesser known talent I watched her wrestle. Then, I started concentrating less on what someone's entrance was like or their gear, and more on how they moved in the ring, and Mickie, undoubtedly, was often the veteran in the ring. Mickie has had some of the best matches in women's wrestling history. She's fought some of the most iconic names in the business. Once asked who Mickey's Mount Rushmore of opponents was, she listed Trish, Lita, Melina, and Beth Phoenix. Now, let's say if someone asked me to round out that four to maybe, I don't know, 10. Here's the route I would take. Asuka, Jazz, Charlotte, Natalya, Gail Kim, and Michelle McCool. Do you agree with my picks? Would you switch somebody out? Mickey added a bonus name of Deonna Purrazzo, and I can see why. Deonna gave Mickey some of her best matches over in Impact Wrestling. The IWC often talks of these passing of the torch moments. I've seen it many times before. Mickey passed the torch to Deonna. If you agree with that, I'm happy for you. Respectfully, I'm not so sure right now. When I began watching WWE, Trish and Lita undoubtedly were the torchbearers in women's wrestling. Their looks were worlds apart, but their goals very much the same. To be the very best and to beat the very best. I think we've seen many eras come and go, and I think when Trish retired, Mickey was handed that torch, and man did she run with it. Then, when Mickey retired Lita in 2006 at Survivor Series, I think her torch was passed to Melina. This, in time, ultimately led to the first four horsewomen, Mickey James, Melina, Beth Phoenix, and Michelle McCool. The next era that came along was the era of the Bellas, AJ Lee and Paige, which was then taken over by NXT's best, Stephanie McMahon's hand-picked team of Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, and Sasha Banks, later joined by Bayley, who are now known widely as the Four Horsewomen. So, back to Biz, riding down that country lane to almost the very beginning. Mickey James had wrestled for TNA, Ring of Honor, and OVW before a big break in WWE in 2005. Mickey was placed into one of the biggest storylines in WWE history. Trish was the women's champion, the cream of the crop, the elite, the masterpiece. Mickey was an obsessed fan. She was nuts. It soon became clear that having the opportunity to tag with Trish just wasn't enough. Mickey didn't want to just team with her. She wanted to be her. Mickey would soon come out to Trish's entrance theme. She took on her finisher and even went as far as to wear a blonde wig to try and look like her idol. Like I said, crazy. Mickey kissed Trish under the mistletoe on an episode of Raw, and I think for the champion, enough became enough. But Mickey, well, she felt 100% stratified. To break off here, Mr. Khan, before you get any ideas for All Elite, this little story you got going on right here with a timeless Tony Storm and a Miss Mariah May, the little obsessed story, the kissing, Mariah wearing Tony's gear, yeah, we've seen this before, I see you. My eyes are all over this. You cannot recreate this golden era. Go back to the drawing board and create your own story. A little bit of 2K Games thrown in there with that promo of mine. A little bit. The pair had their biggest showdown at WrestleMania 22, where Mickey defeated Trish and captured her first WWE Women's Championship. This match is still said to be one of the best female matches ever produced at WrestleMania. I mean, with a build as big as they got, why they didn't have the chance to main event is beyond me. Remember, it was the Divas era. They had the potential to steal the whole show, but back then the powers that be wanted the Divas to be seen as eye candy only, not the absolute super athletes and stars that these women were. Trish had held the Women's Championship for 447 days before that reign ended on the grandest stage of them all. Mickey defeated Trish in a series of rematches, but 133 days later would drop the belt to Lita in her hometown of Virginia. Lita, with Edge at ringside, did everything she could to secure the gold, even blasting Mickey in the head with the title. And with the ref's back turned due to a distraction from Edge, there was nobody to call a disqualification, and Lita left as the WWE Women's Champion for the third time in her career. Just 1 month later, Trish came back for a title. She faced Lita in her last match at Unforgiven. She picked up the win, left the match and the WWE Universe a record 7-time Women's Champion and retired with it. The next night on Raw, the title was declared vacant. A tournament was then set up to decide the new champion. Lita had beaten Candice Michelle and Maria. Mickey had beaten Victoria and Melina. The final two would square up once again. This took place at the Cyber Sunday pay-per-view event, and the winner of the match would be crowned the new WWE Women's Champion. The fans would vote for a Divas Lumberjill match as the stipulation for Lita versus Mickey. The Divas surrounded the ring and it was an even playing field. Mickey was the face and she had support from Divas like Tori Wilson, Candice Michelle, Kelly Kelly and Ashley, whilst Lita had support in the form of the heels, the bad girls like Melina, Victoria, Ariel and Trinity. Lita picked up the win in this match and began her fourth reign as women's champion. This reign, however, wouldn't be record setting as just 20 days later, Mickey had a rematch. Lita declared she would go one better than her longtime rival Trish. She would walk into Survivor Series the champion, beat Mickey 1-2-3, then walk out the champion and retire with the belt. But that's not exactly how it played out. Mickey managed to hit a massive DDT and she pinned Lita, becoming a two-time women's champion. Two championship wins, well, it's great. Beating two of the very best to ever do it, two of the foundations of the women's division, that's impressive. Now, with Trish and Lita out of the picture, how would Mickey cope being the new face of the Divas division? How would she elevate this championship and this group of women? Well, what any great wrestler needs is a great rival, and that rival would be Melina. Mickey held a second title for 84 days before the loudmouth diva Melina took what she believed was rightfully hers, the Women's Championship. Now, one match I wanted to talk about was the history-making, first-ever Divas Falls Count Anywhere match for the Women's Championship. On March the 5th, 2007, the fans witnessed movement. A big match was needed to settle the score between two bitter enemies. Now, I remember expecting a brief interaction backstage, maybe a pinfall on the ramp, but what we actually got was quite a lot of backstage moments, including a segment in the Divas locker room. This match had a pay-per-view feel to it, but in reality, it was match number 3 on the card, beginning in the first hour of a random Monday Night Raw. Lillian Garcia, one of the best ring announcers of all time, was inside the ring. She introduced the special guest ring announcer for this match, the diva who would be gracing the cover of Playboy, Ashley. The first thing to mention is, what happened to the entrance? Ashley announced Mickey, all good. She then announced Melina, but Melina didn't even get past her signature entrance before the bell rang. She dropped to the splits on the apron and the bell rang. I was more than a little confused. Obviously, it was planned for Mickey to attack Melina before she made it into the ring, but a Falls Count Anywhere match is a no DQ match. So why did the timekeeper ring the bell to start the match before Melina entered the ring? Mickey could have still given Melina the baseball slide, knocking her to the floor, and the bell could have rang at that moment. Was it planned? Was it a mistake? Were they trying to cut time for the men later in the night? Again? Who knows? Does Mickey even know? Anyway, the thing I liked here was that Melina instantly ran to the back, taking the fight backstage. She grabbed a trash can and threw it at Mickey. Mickey then slammed Melina onto a table and climbed aboard that train for the pin, but only a 2 count. Dragging her off the table, Mickey then began chasing Melina through the backstage area before grabbing a handful of hair and slamming her face first into the door of the Divas locker room. The only way I can describe what happened next was Diva pandemonium. Mickey speared Melina, who fell into Tori Wilson, who was just trying to look all cute and whatever. Maria then moved from the couch and Mickey threw Melina right over the top of it to the floor. Again, climbing on top of Melina, Mickey attempted a series of rights and lefts, but the ref attempted a pinfall. I think Mickey and the ref were a little unsure as to what each other's next moves were, so Mickey went for another cover. Melina fought off the challenger, but grabbed the nearest thing in sight for support, and that was Maria. She got snatched right over the couch to the floor. Then, as it looked like Mickey was regaining her momentum, in came the muscle. Victoria came in from out of nowhere. She placed Mickey in a hold and allowed the champion to unleash a vicious attack. The king couldn't get enough of this. If there was one thing he loved more than a diva, it was multiple divas. Mickey fought out of the hold. She kicked Melina to the side. Tori then came in spraying some sort of aerosol in Victoria's eyes. Then came the moment everybody remembers from the match. Candice Michelle came into the locker room from the showers, wrapped in nothing but a towel, and was screaming, "What's going on in here?" Melina then grabbed the towel and exposed Candice for what she was to the world on live TV. Topless, guys, topless. That's all I was going to say. Like I said, pandemonium. I loved how in the midst of all this, Melina threw the towel on Mickey's head and they crashed into the cameraman who fell to the floor. And the king said, "Our cameraman's fainted." Then, for a few seconds, there was nothing but a black screen and lots of screaming. The next picture we got with the camera restored was Melina being thrown through the curtain by Mickey and the two rolled down the length of the ramp to the ring. They made it back into the ring and it was hair pull after hair pull, both women ragging each other around by the hair in the ring. The match closed out on the top turnbuckle where Mickey had the champion seated. She went for a Hurricane Rana, but Melina blocked it and Mickey fell to the mat, landing on her neck. Thankfully, she wasn't injured, but she also didn't recapture her championship. This match was a first ever. It was movement. It included weapons, multiple diva spots, a big backstage fight, and introduced Ashley, the newest Playboy cover girl, as Melina's next challenger when the pair had a showdown after the match and Ashley left the champion on her ass, ringside. So, a piece of trivia. Who holds the shortest recognized WWE Women's Championship reign in history, holding the championship for less than one day? Well, Mickie James, that's who. This record was set in April 2007 on the final night of the European Tour in Paris. Mickie pinned Victoria in a triple threat match, also featuring the champion Melina. However, Jonathan Coachman, executive assistant to Mr. McMahon, decided that because Mickie didn't pin the champ, Melina was due an instant rematch. The match took place, and with Melina's feet on the ropes, she pinned Mickie and became a two-time women's champion. The title changed hands twice in one night on this tour, and yes, Mickie became a three-time women's champion, but she held it for the shortest recognized amount of time. The next jump I'm going to make in this career is to 2008, a match I've touched on before. Beth Phoenix was WWE's muscle. She was undefeated for a time. She was the women's champion. The Glamazon had dominated week after week. Women like Kelly Kelly, Maria, Mickie James, and Candice Michelle, who she defeated to become champion at No Mercy. Mickie was deep into a feud with Beth, and as close as she came time and time again, it just wasn't meant to be. Mickie couldn't defeat Beth. On April the 14th, 2008, Raw came to London. Beth was set to defend her title once again against Mickie James. We had this match time and time again. The outcome was always the same. Anyone who stepped to Beth was glam slammed straight to hell. However, in an unexpected turn of events, Beth looked set to close the match with Mickie in position, just seconds away from being slammed into the mat, but she countered this finisher. Mickie rolled out of the glam slam and rolled up Beth for a three count. We couldn't believe it. Beth couldn't believe it, and Mickie, well, she certainly couldn't believe it. For Mickie's fans and WWE fans alike, this victory went down in history. Ashley and Maria came to the stage to revel in Mickie's celebrations. She beat Beth and became a four-time women's champion. Todd Grisham even got more than he bargained for. He came out to ask Mickie how it felt to be champion again, and he was left laid out on the stage after a kiss from the champion. Between 2009 and 2010, Mickie's championship look continued. The introduction of the Divas Championship was an important one for me. There were so many women on the roster, but not enough gold to go around. Plus, having talent now exclusive to each brand, the SmackDown Divas didn't have anything to feud over. Michelle McCool was the first Divas champion in history, and she was dethroned by the sexiest of the sexy, the French-Canadian Maryse. Mickie began feuding with the Divas champion and headed into Night of Champions in July 2009, the challenger, and she left the champion. Mickie became the second diva in history behind Michelle McCool to hold both the women's and Divas championships. Other women to do this included Beth Phoenix, Melina, and Layla. Mickie began her first Divas Championship reign defending the belt throughout the summer against Gail Kim and Beth Phoenix on episodes of Raw, and she defeated Alicia Fox at Hell in a Cell. 2 weeks later on Raw, nobody saw what came next. Mickie met her fate. This was one diva I never imagined ending anybody's championship reign. Gillian Hall. And you know what? She was so over with me. I loved it. I really, really did. It felt so fresh seeing Gillian, one of the most underrated heels in the business, as champion. Albeit she was only champion for like, what, 5 minutes? It still felt right. Mickey's Divas Championship reign was over and she was headed to SmackDown to play with the big girls, Lay Cool. Mickey was part of a major Divas trade decided by guest host of Raw, Nancy O'Dell. Melina was headed to Raw and Mickey was off to the Blue Brand on Friday nights for the first time in her career. It was safe to say Lay Cool ran through everybody in the women's division and they didn't stop on SmackDown. Everyone, Rosa Mendez, Natalia, Kelly Kelly, Maria, the Bella Twins, they tore down everyone. They feared only one woman at this point, Beth Phoenix. But with Mickie James in town, was this another name to fear or just another diva of consequence? Lay Cool had nicknames for everyone. Smelly Kelly, the underfed redhead Maria, and Piggy James, to name a few. This storyline would see SmackDown's Mean Girls bully everyone in their way. It's important to stress this was storyline only. Nobody was harmed in the production of this content and bullying is never, ever okay. Lay Cool cut up Mickey's clothes. They tormented her. They gave her a mean nickname and Layla even dressed up in a bodysuit to mock James. As with anything in life, the good will always prevail. Mickey defeated Michelle in just 20 seconds for the Women's Championship at the 2010 Royal Rumble and began her fifth reign as Women's Champion, making her a six-time World Champion in WWE. This win put Mickey in good company. At the time, she held the second most championship reigns with the old belt in history, just behind Trish, who owned seven reigns. On April the 22nd, 2010, it was announced that Mickie James had been released from WWE. Mickey stated WWE claimed the release came due to their desire to take the women's division in a different direction. Mickey's first run in the company was something to be proud of. She had appeared in four WrestleMania matches and held six championships. She had wrestled the best, but quite honestly, a best was yet to come. She had only scratched the surface. On September 2010, it was reported that Mickey had reached a deal and signed a contract with TNA. Her first appearance was at Bound for Glory, where she served as the special guest referee for the Knockouts Championship match between Velvet Sky, Angelina Love, Tara, and Madison Rayne. I said this before in one of my other episodes. I do strongly believe TNA was years ahead of its time where the women were concerned, and I really believe the women's evolution in wrestling began there. Mickey's matches in the promotion just echoed what I'm saying. She was part of a steel cage match, a last knockout standing match, and a falls count anywhere match. These stipulations were fairly common in TNA, whereas WWE failed to give the fans what they wanted, more women and bigger and better matches. On April the 17th, 2011, James defeated Rayne in a steel cage match, which lasted less than a minute. This marked Mickey's first Knockouts World Championship win. She became a seven-time Women's World Champion, but more importantly, she became the first woman in history to hold the WWE Women's and Divas titles and the Knockouts title too. Impressive, Mickey. It's all about those first evers. Mickey would then enter one of her best feuds in TNA with Angelina Love and Winter. Mickey lost a non-title street fight match against Winter when Love created multiple interferences and Mickey ate the red mist from Winter. This led to a match at Hardcore Justice, which would see Winter defeat Mickey for the Knockouts title. The following month, in September 2011, Mickey secured a second Knockouts World Championship when she defeated Winter on an episode of Impact. Winter would cut this second reign short when she recaptured the title the same month. Mickey James had a hard time putting this creepy lunatic to bed for good. Whatever Mickey sent her way, she had a counter curse for and shut Mickey down. Over the coming weeks and months, James would feud and have matches with Tara, Madison Rayne, Velvet Sky, Brooke Tessmacher, ODB, Serena Deeb, and Gail Kim. Her time here in TNA was full of action, full of strong matchups and title wins, but it was announced on September the 23rd, 2013, that James had failed to negotiate a new contract with TNA. Mickey later stated in an interview that it was true that she wasn't technically under contract with TNA, but she didn't confirm that she was gone. Between 2015 and 2016, Mickey had returned to TNA after a year and a half's absence, where she was involved in a storyline with a real-life husband, then fiancé Magnus. She would also appear in Global Force Wrestling. But in 2016, the fans of WWE got the return they never saw coming. It sent shockwaves around the wrestling world. Asuka was in the middle of an undefeated streak and was NXT Women's Champion. Every woman who was put in front of her, she crushed or choked out. William Regal came to the stage during the October 26th episode of NXT and said, "I've scoured the world for your next competitor, Asuka, and I've found that very opponent." Regal pointed to the Trons and said, "At NXT TakeOver Toronto, you will be facing this lady." Mickey was facing away from the camera and said, "You know, it's been a long time since I've stepped foot in a WWE ring, and now I'm back." The crowd were elated. They went wild. "You know, Asuka," Mickey continued, "you know, Asuka, they say you've beaten everyone. Well, I say you haven't beaten me yet. I have faced and defeated some of the greatest women's champions of all time. The very same women that laid the foundation that you and the rest of the women's evolution stand on. So, at TakeOver, I'm coming. And I'm coming for that NXT Women's Championship. In fact, Mr. Regal, you might want to get the UN on the phone, because it's about to be an international incident, honey. I'll see you at Toronto." Mickie James was coming to NXT. What a match this was. The Empress of Tomorrow against the past, present, and future, Mickie James. I think we all secretly, or, you know, maybe it was something you wanted to holler from those rooftops, but I think we all wanted Mickie to be Asuka's end of the road. Whether it stemmed from the Diva days, past meets present, maybe you were just tired of this reign. Maybe we thought, you know, if Mickie can't stop Asuka, who can? I mean, if we're being honest to ourselves, would it have made sense for Mickie to win? She was only ever there in NXT as a stepping stone to a main roster return. She was there to put Asuka over. But, like I said, when opportunity met champion, these women killed it. On December the 8th, 2016, it was announced that Mickie was returning to WWE full-time. She had signed a multi-year contract. Happy days, right? Well, kind of. You see, I had a real problem with her return. I covered this story in my Alexa Bliss episode. Alexa was in a strong feud against Becky Lynch. Alexa was champion, Becky was challenger. Little Miss Bliss would reveal some hired help in the form of La Luchadora. On the 17th of January 2017 edition of SmackDown, so we all know what happened. This masked woman entered the ring during a steel cage match, helped Alexa retain her title, beat down Becky, and revealed herself to be Mickie frickin' James. She aligned herself with the champion, thus becoming a heel. So, where do I start? Yes, I'm all for veterans and legends putting over new talent from time to time. I mean, nobody does it better than Natalya. However, comma, Mickie James is a living legend in wrestling. She's fought all over the world. She is a multi-time world champion at this point. Hell, she made her name in this very company as a six-time champion. So why, or more importantly, who, decided this was the best route for Mickie to re-enter the fold? Because I stand by what I said. This introduction of Mickie James ruined her second run. Yeah, I said it. Mickie had her first match on the main roster in almost 7 years on January the 29th at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. She teamed with Alexa and Natalya to take on Becky, Nikki Bella and Naomi. The heel side lost. In March, Mickie turned face. It seemed she was heading back to the character we all knew back in the day. Would she now be a leader of the locker room once more? Mickie and Alexa had a non-title match on March the 14th where Mickie really took it to the champion and defeated her in great style. At WrestleMania 33, James would be part of a six-pack challenge. A match, you know, it was a chance to become SmackDown Women's Champion. Mickie was unsuccessful in this match, which, yeah, I think was a shame. She could have used a title run to get her back to the top where she once was. Whether it be a long run or even just another short run, just a month or two, I think that would have been enough to catapult Mickie back to the top of the mountain. Shortly after WrestleMania, Mickie would be part of the draft and she was headed to Raw. Her rivalry with Alexa continued and title matches were in the picture, but where the championship was involved, Mickey just didn't have what it took to claim ownership and become a 7-time women's champion, tied alongside Trish Stratus. 2018 saw a number of first evers for Mickie James. First evers in a career as long as Mickey's. I know, crazy. Stephanie McMahon announced the first ever 30 women Royal Rumble match would take place on January the 28th. This match, thankfully, has become an annual event. We've had 6 Rumbles now and it's boasted some of the biggest names of past, present and future. Women like Tori Wilson, Lita, Kelly Kelly, Victoria, Melina and Jillian. Women like Jade Cargill and Jordan Grace from TNA. It's allowed for big returns from Nia Jax and Michelle McCool. And Mickie James had another first ever during this event. But I'll tell you all about that soon. It was pretty hardcore. Mickie entered the match at number 26 and lasted over 8 minutes before being eliminated right over that top rope with both feet hitting the floor by a longtime rival, Trish Stratus. I think, in all honesty, Mickie could have been treated better in this match. After all, it was her body of work, her history, among others, that paved the way for moments like this. I like that the elimination came from Trish. It teased their history, Trish getting a little payback on Mickie for WrestleMania 22, but I think Mickie can go. She always stays ready. She fights at champion level, and we all know what she can do. I would have liked to have seen her have a longer run in the match. Maybe enter, you know, at the all-important halfway mark at number 15. But she put on a great showing with the little time she had. In February, only 1 month off the heels of the Rumble, Mickie was involved in the first ever Elimination Chamber match. Mickie eliminated Sonya Deville with a diving Luthes press off the top of the pods. It's a match worth looking back on if you've not seen it. Bayley would then take out the former women's champion Mickie James, scoring an elimination of her own. It would seem that for some reason or another, WWE kept holding Mickie back. She just couldn't seem to get off the ground where championships were involved. Did they think she was past it? I mean, we didn't. In October 2018, WWE held the first ever all-women's pay-per-view Evolution. And I say this in every single episode, where is Evolution 2? I gave you an idea, Triple H. WWE featuring NXT and TNA. It would be a sellout. Mickie got the opening match. They do say if you're not the main event, the next important place is the opening match. Mickie teamed with another legend in Foxy. With Alexa Bliss in their corner, they took on Mickie's arch enemies, Trish Stratus and Lita. The match was one for the ages. It was the Divas era versus today's era, the era of the Evolution. Mickie and Foxy took the loss on this one, but it made perfect sense. It was nice to see Mickie go head-to-head with Lita once again too. It had been quite some time. One fun event that came knocking for Mickie was the Mixed Match Challenge. Do you remember that? Bring it back, I say. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's an event that really gives it all away with just the name. Male and female stars teamed up. It was a competition. It was fun. It was mixed tag matches and the winners would earn like a trophy or something. It aired for 2 seasons and I really enjoyed it. There's more couples in wrestling now than ever before and it would be a fun touch to bring it back. Mickie teamed with Bobby Lashley. What a team. They steamed ahead with a 3-0 lead but ultimately lost to Bayley and Finn Balor in the playoffs and were eliminated. Other couples in the series were Lana and Rusev, Carmella and Truth, and Asuka and The Miz. In 2019, Mickie was drafted back to SmackDown. I think, you see, the superstars, male and female, that seem suited to a brand. Mickie, for me, has always thrived on Raw. She's a Raw superstar to me. Naomi has always thrived on SmackDown. Some thrive wherever they go, like Charlotte or Becky. So I felt worried when I saw Mickie was headed back to SmackDown. And worried I was right to be. It was reported that on June the 1st, during a live event, Mickie sustained a knee injury. The kind any superstar dreads. She suffered a torn ACL. This only meant one thing. Mickie was on the shelf for the next 6 to 9 months. In July, she underwent successful surgery, and during her recovery, she returned. but she returned under a different hat. I mean, let's face it, she's a woman of many talents. Mickey followed in Renee Young's footsteps and became a commentator for Main Event. It fit like a glove. Having someone with so much experience call a match was great. She can't be denied, she's one of the greats. After 14 months, Mickey returned back on Raw. She would be inserted into a feud with Raw's Mean Girls, Natalya and Lana. The story seemed to be centered around Natalya and Mickey, sort of, you know, who had cemented the most memorable legacy. Mickey faced them both in a series of singles matches, whilst James put the champion Asuka on notice. She eventually got a Raw Women's Championship match, but the match ended with a strange botch, not from either competitor, but rather the ref. The ref called the end of the match when he thought Mickey could no longer compete, and I remember wondering, what the hell was going on? Was someone injured? Did someone tap? Was it just miscommunication? Either way, Mickey looked pissed. In the 2020 draft, Mickey went undrafted. I mean, that's not unusual. Becoming more of a free agent can be fun, but not in Mickey's case. Her first post-draft appearance was on the Legends Night of Raw on January the 4th, 2021. She appeared alongside legends like Tori Wilson, Melina, and Foxy. Although I would have liked to have seen more from these women, maybe a match or more TV time, I'm glad Mickey was shown in this category. She deserved that respect and that spot. In April 21, Mickey was announced as one of the many in-ring talents who had been released from the company. It was quite the shock. After this release, Black Bag Gate came around. Mickey revealed her belongings had been sent to her from WWE talent relations in black bags. Several other former WWE divas were prompted to come forward. And you know, they said they received the same shocking treatment. Jillian Hall, Gail Kim, Rosa Mendez, Maria Kanellis, they all confirmed the same disrespect when they were released from the company too. This revelation led to the senior person in charge of this act to be fired, and James received a public apology from Stephanie McMahon herself. Mickey forever serving justice. I love this outcome. So, with James out of WWE, what was next? Was it time to hang up those boots, or did Mickey have another run left in her? Of course she did. I'm talking about Mickey friggin' James here. Mickey, for the third time in her career, went back to Impact Wrestling. The landscape had changed. TNA was now Impact Wrestling. The roster of women 6 years ago when Mickey was part of the division had changed, but one thing was for sure, this was one place James was always treated like the champion she is. Mickey James was home. Deonna Purrazzo was running the show. She was the Impact Knockouts champion. At Slammiversary 2021, James returned. The crowd chanted welcome back, and she just had this glow. It's so obvious to see. If you compare Mickey in WWE to Impact, she just has this energy about her. Her eyes smile. Mickey revealed she was executive producer for Empower, and she was here to invite Deonna to the event to defend the Knockouts title. A couple of weeks later, we, the Impact Universe, looked set to see a contract signing. Deonna came to the ring to do what Deonna does best. Rhyme off her accolades, tell everyone why she's the greatest to ever do it, how she will not be defeated. Mickey came out and said, look, businesswoman to businesswoman, we only have a handshake to seal the deal of a title match at Empower, so I've drawn up a contract. Deonna said she's already beaten the unknown, therefore she has no desire to do it again. Who is this opponent, Mickey? Mickey said, luckily for you, your opponent is here tonight. The woman challenging the champion was Melina. Melina would strike a pose and confidently make her way to the ring. I mean, I was shook. Mickey and Melina, these women went back to what, like 2007? The most bitter rivals. Two divas who tore each other apart were here, together, united. 14 years later, this was going to be good. Melina performed her signature splits on the apron and the crowd loved it. Champion and challenger stood face to face. Mickey said, look, let's leave it for Empower. But, Deonna, now you know who your opponent is, are you ready to make it official? Without a word, she signed the contract, handing it back to Mickey. Melina snatched that contract, signed on the dotted line, and it was signed, sealed, and delivered to Mickey. Deonna said, Melina, we have never met before. I want to formally introduce myself. I am the Virtuosa, the two-time Knockouts champion. It is very, 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 very nice to meet you. It's an honor. But at Empower, it's going to be an honor to defeat you. Melina laughed. She took the mic and said, you know, Deonna, you know, I heard that when you had your first title match opportunity, you won the Knockouts Championship straight away. That's impressive. That's impressive. On August the 28th at Empower, I'm excited to do the exact same thing. The crowd loved it. The commentators loved it. I loved it. I know you loved it. And what a match it was. After Empower, Mickey and Deonna's feud really heated up. It was announced on September the 23rd episode of Impact that Mickey's in-ring return would come at Bound for Glory as she challenged for the Knockouts title against her rival, Deonna Purrazzo, the Virtuosa. On the September 30th episode of Impact, they did something I could never imagine WWE doing for their female talent. They filmed a segment where Deonna went to Mickey's home on the farm and unleashed an attack. Deonna then dunked Mickey's head in a bucket of water and left her laid out in a field. At Bound for Glory, Mickey defeated Deonna and earned her fourth Knockouts Championship. And that was my question. If Impact could see Mickey's potential, why did WWE waste her time by not giving her the title run she deserved or have her be the head of the women's table? Mickey and Deonna's biggest match was yet to come. The stage was set, the title was on the line. Deonna revoked a rematch at Impact's Hard to Kill event on January the 28th, 2022. But this match wouldn't be any normal match. It was a Texas death match. The match, in my opinion, was one of Mickey's best matches to date. It had chairs, it had tables, it had thumbtacks. There was blood. These women left it all in the ring. They tore each other apart. It seems a lot of people haven't seen this match. Maybe you don't follow Impact. Maybe you're new to women's wrestling. But seriously, search for this match. You will not be disappointed. This is what the Divas fought so hard for 20 years ago and more. Mickey hit the Mick DDT on Deonna and achieved the 3 count. Then the 10 count began. At the count of 6, Mickey placed chairs and tables over the body of her opponent to ensure she couldn't get up and the match didn't go on. Mickey walked into Hard to Kill, your Knockouts World Champion, and she stumbled out, your Knockouts World Champion. That woman is insane. She can do it all. Mickey proved one thing during this match. A champion gets up even when she can't. She's like a fine wine. So, before I go on to the last leg of this career, I put a poll on X asking who was your favourite Mickey James opponent. Beth Phoenix, Melina, Lay Cool, or Trish Stratus? You all took the time to vote and the result was Trish with 63%. I found it incredibly hard to decide on this one. I love the chemistry between Trish and Mickey, the history, the time they represented. I love the true underdog story between Mickey and Beth. I think Melina and Mickey were so equally matched and they always killed it in the matches. And Lay Cool and Mickey just had the dynamics that were needed to create a story. But if I had to choose, honestly, I think my choice would be Trish and Mickey too. It was the passing of that torch. Mickey and Trish had so much story time behind them, something we rarely saw, and although at the time I was sad Trish lost the belt, I see now how it all made sense. So I agree, you all made the right choice. So, just to back it up a little bit, the night before the Texas Death Match on January the 7th, 2022, something special was announced. It was Friday Night SmackDown, and the most decorated superstar in history, according to her, the SmackDown Women's Champion, Charlotte Flair, came to the ring. She wished the crowd a Happy New Year and said her New Year's resolution was to make history, and in 4 weeks, the chance to do that would come around again. She said the Royal Rumble changes lives. She pointed to the Trons, and for the first time ever, the lineup was revealed, including the legend returns. I, like most, thought they got that very wrong. Nobody likes what should be a surprise not being a surprise, right? The legends announced were Hall of Famer Lita, Kelly Kelly, Summer Rae, Michelle McCool, Hall of Famers The Bella Twins, and Mickey James. Hold up. What? Mickey James. Mickey, the Knockouts champion from Impact Wrestling. That's right, something never seen before. Something so out there we could only ever have dreamed of it happening. For one night only at the Royal Rumble event, we would get a WWE and Impact crossover. The four-time Knockouts champion Mickey James was coming home. It was time to show up, show out, and represent Impact Wrestling. The best thing about this was WWE allowed Mickey to come out to her Impact theme, Hardcore Country, and I am so glad they did. It was such a nice touch, a refreshing taste to see Mickey not only coming out to her own theme, wearing a cowboy hat, but also holding the Knockouts title high. She entered at number 20 and lasted just under 12 minutes. The crowd went insane. It was a moment that will live in my mind forever. In that time, she battled the likes of Liv Morgan, Alicia Fox, and Brie Bella. Mickey eliminated a longtime rival, Michelle McCool. Then, similar to the first Rumble, she had a showdown with a second rival in WWE, Lita. The announcers talked about her legacy and the fact she was a four-time women's champion. Lita sent Mickey to the corner, James going for a top rope Hurricane Rana, but Lita counters, sending Mickey to the outside apron. James attempted to get back inside the ring, but Lita hit a devastating DDT, and Mickey was out. Thank you for coming. This moment is something that has been represented and repeated since. Jordynne Grace, the current Knockouts champion, participated in this year's Rumble. I mean, it's great to see this crossover. I just felt a little bit like I'd wished Mickey's first ever lasted a little longer than 2 years. But if it's going to keep happening, it has me seated. Let's go. Okay, so the last thing I want to jump into was Mickey's last rodeo. I hadn't been watching much of Impact again at this point. I was dipping in and out, and I saw on Twitter this tournament, if you like, had been announced. And I'm sure I, like you, wondered what this was. I saw Mickey recently lost a title to Tasha Steelz at Sacrifice, ending a reign at 133 days, and I had to find out more about this. James teased a retirement on Twitter, and I was in shock. On September the 1st, 2022, Mickey returned to Impact. She came to the ring and went over a loss to Steelz, her friend Chelsea Green turning on her and defeating her not once, but twice. Mickey said those self-doubts crept back in, that she thought she wasn't good enough, that she couldn't hang with this new crop of women. She went home to her family and did some soul searching. Mickey said she didn't want to go out a shell of her former self. She was once known as the greatest to ever do it, and that's what she had to find out. If she was, the greatest still. I'm not retiring, Mickey said. Not tonight, not like this, not right now. But I am going to test myself in the quest to be the best. So no, I'm not asking for a Knockouts World Championship match. I want to earn it. And I want to earn it the same way I've earned everything that I have in my life. And that is with dirt in my eyes and grit in my teeth. So I'm going to issue an open challenge to every single woman from the bottom of the roster all the way to the top of the mountain, and whoever is holding that Knockouts championship at the end, know that I'm coming for you. But there's a catch. There has to be a catch. If I lose in this journey, or I lose that shot for the Knockouts championship, that's it. This is the last rodeo. I can't promise that it's going to be a long ride. I can't promise that it's going to be a short ride. But what I can promise is it's going to be a hell of a ride, and it's going to end one of two ways. And that's me as Knockouts World Champion, or me going home for good. I mean, guys, what a segment. It was powerful. It felt true from the heart. One thing we forget in wrestling is how fast time moves on. You know, Mickey debuted in WWE in 2005, 17 years ago at the point of this segment. She'd been fighting on the indies for years before that. This isn't a forever career. We grow with these stars. The end has to come at some point, but I still felt like Mickey's fire was still burning. Women had come and gone, but Mickey was the one constant that was committed to her fans, her career, and her passion. In this last rodeo, Mickey defeated the likes of Chelsea Green, Mia Yim, Taylor Wilde, and Giselle Shaw. Mickey made it to the top of the mountain, and she dethroned the juggernaut that is Jordynne Grace. She took home the Knockouts World title for the fifth time in her career. Then came what nobody expected. Mickey James was injured. On April the 13th episode of Impact, 15 years on from Mickey's fourth WWE Women's Championship win in London, she relinquished her championship. Mickey returned to Impact last year for a special match at the Impact 1000 episode. She teamed with Awesome Kong, Gail Kim, Jordynne Grace, and then Knockouts champion Trinity, and they defeated the Beautiful People's Angelina Love, Giselle Shaw, Tasha Steelz, Savannah Evans, and Deonna Purrazzo in a 10-knockout tag team match. Now that is one match to watch. It's like the Evolution concept. It was past versus present. A great match. Now, speaking on her own podcast, GoTV, which she hosts with former diva and knockout Victoria, and SoCal Val, formerly of TNA, Mickey addressed rumors of her being released from TNA, and she confirmed she had never been under contract this time around. Now, as we all know, Mickey's husband, Nick Aldis, is the GM over on SmackDown, and the question is, with the draft now in place and the gears of WWE shifting, would you like to see a return for Mickey James? I think, personally, I would, if it was handled correctly. Maybe Mickey could return alongside Nick, and the power couple could run SmackDown or Raw, wherever they end up. Mickey could have some in-ring competition if it felt right, maybe come full circle with this new WWE Women's Championship belt, and capture a seventh title with the company. Now, for some little Mickey facts. Did you know Mickey made the top 10 list of most matches of any female in WWE? She sits in 9th place with 662 matches. The Four Horsewomen and Asuka are women ahead of her in the list, but Natalya takes the top spot with one of her many rightfully deserved Guinness World Records, the most matches of any woman in WWE. Did you know Mickey and Nick are no stranger to teaming up inside the ring? They had a match with Chelsea Green and Matt Cardona over on Impact Wrestling. In 2009 and 2011, Mickey was PWI's Woman of the Year. And Mickey has just brought out of retirement a woman who she shared, I think, only one singles match with in their time in WWE for a match at Mickey's event, her, the ever foxy Alicia Fox. Oh, I forgot dream matches. Okay, so I'll keep this quick. Let's say Mickey heads back to WWE. I mean, did you see that tweet last week or the week before? WWE were looking to crown their new Women's World Champion in a Battle Royal on Raw. When Rhea Bloody Ripley relinquished her title due to injury, Mickey quoted WWE's post, which asked, "Who will it be?" And Mickey quoted that tweet saying, "Be there soon." Ooh. So, are we manifesting this? Could Mickey be coming? If she does come back, I would like Mickey to be a champion again in WWE. I've established that already. I'd like to see a one-on-one match with Charlotte. I think both those women want and need that. Mickey and Jade, I think, could tear it up. Mickey and Rhea. Mickey versus Nia Jax. I think there's some unfinished business there. I think Mickey could bring out the best of women like Candice LeRae, Crazy Tatum Paxley, maybe Mickey versus Chelsea or Mia Yim once again. The opportunities are endless. Who would you pay to see the hardcore one go up against? And would you ever want her to return under a hardcore country gimmick again? Well, I would. So here goes, guys, the question. You know the one, so don't act like you don't. The WWE Hall of Fame. To me, it's not a question of should Mickey be inducted. The question is when and who by. I asked you in a poll on X, should Mickey be inducted? 98% of your 52 votes said yes, and that I fully agree with. And here's my why. Mickey is a pioneer, a trailblazer. She is authentic. She stays true to who she is and is a huge advocate and supporter of women's wrestling. She's massively changed the landscape for women. She's performed through many era and has outperformed every single time. Now, there are many potential women to possibly induct Mickey. There's obviously Trish. That's probably the most go-to, the most popular option. But again, Beth Phoenix, Victoria, Lita, Michelle McCool. But for me, it would have to be Melina. So guys, that was episode 27, Mickey James. I hope in this sort of part 2 episode, I have done Mickey some justice, recapping this legendary career. I mean, she is, isn't she? A legend. Thank you everyone if you made it this far. I would really appreciate it if you guys could leave a comment, leave a 5-star rating, take a screenshot and post it to me on X. Tag me. Tag Mickey James. Let these episodes be heard. And now, Mickey, I speak directly to you. If you're listening. I mean, I know you're not, but thank you for the career you've shared with us. You're the queen of promos. I'm the king of promos. If you need a promo guy, an announcer, hit me up. Bring me on GoTV. Let's talk WWE, Impact, the Divas. Let's talk it all. I can only wish. Thank you everyone for coming back to these episodes, but there will be a big change coming. I may have time to bring you one more episode. the way I record and create these episodes is changing. I'll be taking a short break, trying to figure it all out, and just know that if I can, I will be back. Maybe with one more episode, you know, maybe with 10 more or 20 more. But just know one thing, if this is the end of the road, it's been one hell of a journey. There's been some good days, some bad days too, but I'd never have gotten to over 850 streams if it wasn't for you, the listeners. There's still time to reach my 1k goal, so please keep sharing, keep recommending, and I hope to see you all again for at least one last episode of They Made Their Way to the Ring. Ding, ding, ding.